Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Worth of damage to the plumbing, electrical, and heating system of that building. Anyone with information is asked to call Milton State Police. AccuWeather says a shower and thunderstorm in spots this evening, cloudy and mild overnight, a low 62. Times of clouds and sun tomorrow with a shower, very warm, high 82. It's back to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, located on routes 11 and 15 in beautiful Hummel's Wharf, right near the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Steve Jones with you from the Chateau. Love the Chateau. One of these days we'll have Kevin do a show from the Chateau.
I would like that.
We'll even serve you little sandwiches.
Do you have caviar at the Chateau?
We do not. We do not. We're not into fish eggs here.
Can you bring that when I come by then?
Caviar?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I know when Jack was here last, which was just here at the Chateau, Jack was here.
You had caviar then, didn't you?
No, we had Grey Goose.
Oh, well, my mistake.
I mean, you know, well.
That goes with caviar, though.
It does. And Girardi was here. We had Coca-Cola.
Poor Dick Girardi.
No, that's what the DJ loved.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I thought maybe he was getting dissed. We're talking about beverages of choice here.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe he was
beverages getting dissed. Of choice, my man. Oh, and that's what we're talking about. Okay? It's, you know. Jack is a wine connoisseur, but he also enjoys Grey Goose. Dick is more of a soft drink guy and loves Coca-Cola. And lemon lime green Gatorade.
And you're a Perrier kind of guy.
Me? I used to be a Coca-Cola guy. Okay? But then when I was at the Rose Bowl, I was diagnosed type 2. Diabetic. So it's really water now. That's what it has to be.
Now, is Perrier sparkling water or is that just water?
No, it's sparkling water. It's from France.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. It's from a spring. Bubbles. Love it.
Now, I know everybody in the broadcast booth had Perrier, so I didn't know if that was the official water.
That was Jack. Jack before every game always brings me a beverage. Always. Sometimes he brings me Perrier. Sometimes he brings me Pamplemousse. It's just whatever
whatever's along the turnpike.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
I just wondered. I thought I didn't see you as a Perrier kind of guy, but you know.
But he brings it. That's what he, for whatever reason. I mean, he started doing this years ago. Where you'll bring a beverage, he'll put it down in front of me, and he'll say, here, you know. I don't know if he thinks it's a luck thing, or what. It's fun. We enjoy it. You know, he says, and he'll kid me. He says, I know you like your pamplemousse chilled at 38 degrees. I said, yes, this is.
Chilled at 38. You put a, hang on, that's only 37. That's too cold.
But this is the fun. This is, you know, as you can tell, we have a lot of fun in the booth, and as you can tell, we're really good friends. So this is what we do, our little pregame rituals, and we'll kid around with each other. It's the way it is. Yeah. Couple quick notes. 1-800-795-9565. Kevin trashing NASCAR today in favor of IndyCar racing. And you don't like the bumping. You don't like the drafting. You don't like the slingshot moves.
No. And see, now you put words in my mouth. I did not say I didn't like the bump, the drafting. I don't mind drafting. I don't think bump drafting is approved. Listen, why is it okay on lap 42 to push a guy, but on lap number 499 out of 500 or whatever it is that finishes up the race, why is it not okay to do it then? That's where I have a problem in NASCAR. You can't bump draft on the last lap, but you can bump draft everywhere else.
I see.
Plus, I've always had trouble with the restrictor plate. I understand the reason it's there, but it's like, we want you to go as fast as you possibly can, but not too fast, because that's not safe. Well, guess what? It's racing. It's not going to be a safe sport. And if you think it is, then you're probably in the wrong sport.
1-800-795-9565. All right. I know we have some NASCAR fans out there. I know we do. I want to hear from you. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. I want to get them involved in this show because the television ratings tell me a different story.
IndyCar numbers are up. NASCAR numbers have actually slid a little bit.
Kevin.
And I realized they were big numbers.
Okay.
And I realized IndyCar numbers were not big. So anything would be an improvement. I get it.
Yes, it would be.
I get it.
Yes, it would be. Look, I enjoy the Indianapolis 500. After shocking the daylights out of you yesterday with the Vince Welsh talk.
The knowledge was quite impressive.
Okay. I enjoy the race. I will watch probably both races on Sunday. Good chance I'll watch both. Now, the one at night, the 600 from Charlotte, I won't watch all of it, but I'll probably watch a couple of hours of it. I mean, to watch 600 miles, you get dizzy. All right? But I'll watch a couple of hours of it, and I'll especially watch the last hour of it. Indy, I'll probably watch a bigger chunk of.
Won't miss a lap.
I know you won't.
I will record it just to make sure I get home in time to watch the pre-race.
That's sad. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I can't watch pre-anything anymore. I can't.
I just want to tell you, you do know you do a pregame show before every football and basketball game.
I know, right? I do.
I wasn't sure if you remembered.
Oh, I know I do. Believe me, I'm well aware. I sit there. I said I don't watch pre, except I will watch college football game day. I will watch that when I get a chance. NFL pregame shows, no. Major League Baseball pregame shows, no. Stanley Cup, no. NBA, a little bit of the NBA because I find Barkley and Smith rather entertaining, and Ernie Johnson's good. When it's on ESPN, can't watch them.
Yeah, but that's only because you just want to hear what Barkley's going to say next. But you know, NFL on Fox, I like that hour pregame.
No, I can't watch it. I can't watch any NFL pregame shows. Just put the game on. When they had the NFL Today years ago, I would watch it because I was anxious to see it. Now it goes hours and hours and hours. I don't need to watch an hour or whatever. Just get me to the game. You know, now with Penn State football, for example, because it's so Penn State football specific in the pregame show we do, look, I'm at practice every day. I sort of provide a little different angle to what's going on than maybe, okay? I can tell you who's hurt, who's not, who's going to be moving up, who's going to be available, who's not available, things like that. There actually is more useful information in there. Okay? There's no guesswork. You ask me, you know, hey, you know, what's the status this week of Curtis Dukes? I'll tell you. By the way, Curtis Dukes, by the way, went through the spring academically, is fine. He's set to go. He's back practicing with the team, okay?
And you should mention, too, we talked about this yesterday. If you missed it, Steve gave us an update on the rumor mill with Rob Bolden.
He's here, okay? To my knowledge, has not requested a transfer. He's here working out.
And his high school coach said that that wasn't the case, too. Is that correct?
Right. Yes. And Curtis Drake is not with the team. But Curtis Dukes is back with the team. And that gives them more depth at tailback. And the move of Bill Belton, the tailback, was highly successful. Highly successful. The coaching staff was thrilled with that move. Liked it a lot. Now, what do you do with depth in the secondary? I think one of the big decisions they have to make is going to be with Adrian Amos. Do you play him at corner, or do you put him at safety? I think that's a swing move right there. I think if you go with, I mean, Morris has that one corner lockdown, and Derek Thomas is with the team, and he's fine. Derek Thomas can play either corner spot. Jesse Della Valle, who was picked on relentlessly the first 2.5 weeks of practice, and then the last week and a half of the spring, Jesse started making some plays. Jesse got to be one tough guy over at that one corner, and you saw him in the blue-white game. He picked off a pass and ran it back 35 yards. So now you have between Thomas, Morris, Della Valle, and Amos. There's four corners there. Now at safety, you have Willis, who's really good, Obeng Archibong, and Jacob Fignano. Okay, Ryan Kaiser's absence is definitely noted in this. Kaiser affects them with depth at the secondary, and he also affects them by not being the holder. They'll have to make a decision as to what to do there. McGloin did some work as the holder in the spring. Shane McGregor got some work as the holder as well in the spring. All right, so now what do you do with Amos? Do you make him a corner? Jack and I really both like him as a corner. Or do you keep him at safety, where he did well at safety, but he's also a big corner that can run. And I like his reaction. I like how he breaks in the ball. I like how he hits. There are a lot of things about him I like. So I think they can be okay there. They're going to have to and recruit. You know, they have 19 recruits coming in that will join the squad on June 27th. And there are a couple guys in there that can provide depth in that secondary for them. That's a plus. Because what they'll have to address in recruiting as we move along is there is a slight positional imbalance right now in this football team. And too many offensive linemen, not enough DB slash wideout guys. Okay, they have enough wideouts, obviously. That's why they had originally moved Drake over, to at least address on the current team the imbalance. They'll have to address that imbalance in recruiting between the number of offensive linemen and the number of DBs. That's what they'll have to do. 1-800-795-9565.
By the way, you can make your comments regarding NASCAR IndyCar on Twitter as well, at Steve Jones PSU. Use the hashtag IndyRules.
Hey, whoa. Why does my name have to be attached to your inflammatory comments?
It's the Steve Jones Show. The whole show's attached to your name. It's a little hard to get away from that.
But they're going to think I said it.
That's not my fault.
Yes, it is.
Too bad.
Yes, it is.
Too bad.
Let's put it up. I want that up as a poll question. What do you prefer, IndyCar or NASCAR?
All right. We'll get that up during the break.
I'm just making a request. I think it's race weekend. It's Memorial Day coming up. I just think
it is extremely timely.
I think it's timely. I also think it's brings with it a level of Kevin Hur excitement. 1-800-795-9565. I mean, you even mentioned Dale Senior in a disparaging way. I mean, really, you have decided to take out the baseball bat today and swing. And it's attached to my name.
Not drawing any walks today. We're going up to the plate swinging.
1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show, including more Kevin Hur comments after this. Kevin Hur going to town today in his vehement defense of IndyCar, and doing it at the expense of NASCAR, attempting to compare the two.
My point was, in NASCAR, there's a lot of bumping, there's a lot of rubbing, there's a lot of pushing. In IndyCar, you don't have that.
I see. Let's a very quick update on the Big Ten today, Big Ten tournament. Penn State and Ohio State are 1-1 top of the third. Penn State has already out-hit them 6-2. in the game. But again, it's a 1-1 game in the top of the third at Huntington Park. Michigan State won the opener over Nebraska 10-9. Meanwhile, in the majors, the Mets won today. They beat the Pirates 3-1. And so that's the story there.
Here's something we were talking about
on the
last
majors,
night.
And I want to get something very quickly. What happened last night in the NBA? I know the NBA talk. Let me just do the rest of the scoreboard here. Red Sox won 6-5 over Baltimore. Seattle leads Texas 1-0 top of the third. Bottom of the third in Oakland, where the Angels lead the A's 1-0. Tampa Bay, Toronto 4-4. Bottom of the ninth at St. Petersburg. Bottom of the eighth at Miller Park, where the Brewers lead Charlie Fisher's Giants 8-5. The biggest Giants fan I know, Charlie Fisher, the Penn State quarterback's coach. Huge Giants fan. And last night, NBA, quick take on that after what happened. I think all three guys should be suspended. I think Tyler Hansbrough should be suspended for raking Dwayne Wade across the face. I think that there's no question that Dexter Pittman needs to be suspended because of throwing an elbow that was just vicious. And as for Udonis Haslam, if he were to have gone at Hansbrough with one arm and a swat and came down on him, I could accept the flagrant one call. I can accept it. Because at least I would think there was some attempt to go after the ball by having one arm down and the other one going after him. When you go at somebody with two and you tomahawk him, you're not playing the ball. I heard Colin Cowherd a little bit earlier today with just an absolutely ridiculous rant about how he should not be suspended and blah, 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 blah. I don't even know if he watches the games. Does he watch the games? I mean,
I don't think so.
You know, and he sits there and he talks about, you know, Wade's a star, you know, and if one's a star and somebody else is another star, you need to, you know, this. No. I'm sorry. Now, should you protect stars because some people may be overly aggressive with them? Where they're being targeted because they're a star? Now, that I understand. But protecting them? No. But this is a case where, I mean, he was talking about, Pittman's expendable, suspend him, and things. What kind of stupidity is that? But Pittman should be suspended, whether he's expendable or not. Hansbrough should be suspended because he really did rake Wade pretty good. And there's no doubt Haslam should be, because, again, he comes down in a tomahawk motion with both arms across his shoulder. That is not an attempt to play the ball. That is not a basketball play. Not a basketball play. I go back to the 84 final, and I'm a big Celtics fan. Grew up in New England, huge Celtics fan. Celtics are playing the Lakers. The Lakers blew out the Celtics in game three, but the defining moment happened late in the game, second half, when Kurt Rambis was breaking to the bucket, and Kevin McHale absolutely clotheslined him. He was called for the foul. There was no other action taken. But the Lakers, who had been freewheeling in the series, they've been free of Magic and Worthy and Kareem, and they were just freewheeling it. Byron Scott. Okay, they're freewheeling and they were flowing. And the Celtics got physical with them, and it started with that play with McHale, where they basically said, "We're not going to take it anymore." And they were able to grind the Lakers to a halt. Celtics won the fourth game in overtime. Dennis Johnson had a huge shot in the searing heat with no air conditioning at the Boston Garden, beat them in game five. Lakers won game six, and then in game seven, same thing where they were able to grind it down. The Celtics won by 9 in game seven. But it all started with McHale clotheslining Rambis. Okay? Under today's rules, I'd have looked at McHale, I would have suspended him. He deserved to be suspended. It was not a basketball play when he, you know, and I'm a big McHale guy, and I'm a big Celtics fan, but there's no doubt McHale should have been suspended for it. Haslam should be suspended for what he did. You're not playing the basketball. That is not a basketball play to take both arms and come down and tomahawk somebody. Just like with Pittman, it's not a basketball play to viciously throw the elbow the way he did. And it's not a basketball play by Hansbrough as to what he did with Dwayne Wade. All three should be suspended. Game six, not play. Simple as that. I don't want to hear how it affects the balance of power. It's their fault. They're the ones that did this. So it's not the commissioner or the Office of Discipline that is determining the winner of Game 6. It's the players that determine that. They're the ones that did the stupid things. Simple as that. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Phillies aren't playing well, and you know what? They might not this season. Kevin says that NASCAR is junk. Was that the word you used?
I don't believe I said junk.
Well, I cleaned it up. And the suspensions in the NBA are the lack thereof. One more sterling half hour of broadcast excellence remaining after Sarah Bartlett in the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Our thanks to Scott Pose from BTN for joining us. We talk about the Big Ten baseball tournament. Guy Gadowski, the Penn State hockey coach, scheduled for tomorrow. They just announced their first varsity schedule, and we wanted to have Guy on to talk about that. Andy Russell also coming on later in the week, former Steeler. Looking forward to all that and much more. And, of course, our thanks to Vince Welsh yesterday for being on the show. I think once that show was over with, I think you felt the same way about that show as you felt about listening to Dick Girardi and the Preakness on Friday, where you felt like you were completely ready to watch the race. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. A couple notes Kevin and I want to get to in this segment. They all deal with baseball. And we can talk about whatever you want. I don't care. You want to ask me some Penn State football questions, go ahead. I'll answer them at 1-800-795-9565. You want to ask about the NASCAR IndyCar thing, we can talk about that at 1-800-795-9565. The NBA last night with Haslam and Pittman and Hansborough, 1-800-795-9565. In baseball, we'll do this first. Kevin asked me about instant replay in baseball. And to be honest with you, everybody else is doing whatever they can to make their game better, except baseball. I don't understand. I love the game of baseball. I love it. But we are not in the 40s and 50s any longer, where the casual national pastime that you listen to on the radio as you were working in the garden in the 50s and 60s and so forth, you know. That's why one of the reasons why I am so pro-designated hitter. Because I think you need to get some juice into the game. Pitchers hitting brings no juice to the game at all. All it brings with it is surprise. And it just doesn't do anything. You know, I don't want to hear about the strategy and punts and this, that, and the other thing. Look, I watch enough American League games where, believe me, when they have to play for a run, they play for a run. And they have certain guys in the order they use to play for a run. But what brought baseball back from the brink of the strike? Two things. Cal Ripken's streak and the long ball. Albeit, obviously, it was manufactured somewhat by steroids. But still, fans, when it was happening and not realizing what the reason was, loved watching McGuire, Sosa, and everybody step to the plate and drive it. What was it, 1998? I was at Three River Stadium. Patrick Scholl and I went down to Three River Stadium to see the Cardinals and the Pirates. We were second row off the field. In the first inning, McGuire hit its 52nd home run of the season. Three River Stadium went nuts. It was August. It was late August. Three River Stadium went nuts. Okay, now the Pirates won the game 16-4, but every fan got what they had hoped to see that night. They wanted to see McGuire hit one out. They wanted to feel like they were watching a slice of history happen. And he hit number 52. He hit it 477 feet into the right center field upper deck. Okay? Everybody loved it. They also love the fact that the hometown team won 16-4 that night. But I think, you know, there're well-pitched games and low-run games in moderation are exciting. In moderation. A series of them, and you're like, oh, for crying out loud, when is somebody going to score in this thing? The Pirates, for example, have had a lot of really well-pitched games this year. I can tell you right now, the Pirates are not a fun team to watch. I wish I could say differently because I think the world of Frank Coonley, the Pirate president, he and I are friends. And he has an excellent young staff, and they've invested a lot of money in the Pirates organization into pitching. And McCutcheon's an exciting player, and Alvarez can be an exciting player. But they don't have enough guys around them. You need that power at first, third, left, and right. You need that. And in the American League, you need it in five spots. First, third, left, right, and DH. Now, you need to have that. And you need to have some energy in the game. Well-pitched 2-1 games, 3-2, 1-0 games in moderation are exciting and bring with them their own excitement and tension. Okay? There was a 10-9 game today in the Big Ten as Michigan State beat Nebraska. I'm not advocating 10-9 games, but 7-4, 6-3, something where something is happening. There's action out there. You need more. That's why I've advocated the DH for a long time. Originally, AFL, they had 30, has done the same thing. And in the pass game, it unbalanced the field. Now the hash marks in college football are now literally one-third of the field is the hash mark. One-third, one-third, one-third. Before, they were so wide, it affected the pass game. They wanted to get more passing, so they changed the hash marks. They physically changed the field to do that. In the pros, they had the hash marks lined up with the uprights. They're 18 yards, 6 inches wide. Right? So changes are made in the NHL. Okay? They took out the offside pass, the two-line pass. Gone. It opened up the game. It made it better. They brought in instant replay. Right? You know, people talk about holding up the game. People are used to it. College football put in the instant replay. It's different than the NFL's. And guess what? It's better. I think college football's instant replay is better than the NFL's. But it's okay to be different, but it's better. The NBA and college basketball. College basketball, okay, used to be a game with no shot clock, no three-point shot. Now it was a 45-second shot clock. It's been reduced to 35 seconds. And now you have a three-point line. It was 19-9. Now it's moved out to 20 feet 9 inches. In the NBA, they did what the ABA did. They put in a three-point line. Shot clock was always 24, but they also put in a new rule where instead of having 10 to cross the timeline, it's 8. Meanwhile, who doesn't do anything? Major League Baseball. In the National League, except for reviewing home runs, they don't do anything. I love baseball. It's okay to make an adaptation. The DH should be in both leagues, in my opinion. I don't like watching pitchers hit. It's boring. When a pitcher gets a hit, your reaction is surprise, like, whoa, hey, how about that? Okay, that's a bonus. All right. Kevin talks about strategy. I understand that. But guess what? I watch enough American League games. I watch guys bunt guys over, play for a run, close game. And pitch counts are more important in the American League, too, because you don't want to have your starter out there going 130-some-odd pitches. So you have to monitor that more, too. And they should have replay on close plays at bases and plates. They should have the replay on close plays at bases and at the plate. And if they want to give the manager the right to go out there and give him two challenges a game, fine.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I'd be okay if that were the case, but to replay every single one, man, that would make a 4-hour game, a 7-hour
game. No, it doesn't. Kevin, it doesn't. We have that in college football. Every single play is replayed. Guess what? The game's not longer. Because not every play is a close play at first base.
That's true. I understand that. But the problem you run into is when a play is reviewed now, it's reviewed upstairs. And I'm looking at this from an NFL, comparing NFL to Major League Baseball. The play would be reviewed upstairs. Then you would have somebody go under a hood, look at it again, spend another 3 minutes evaluating. Listen, if it takes you 3 minutes to figure it out, the call in the field was the right call.
Well, part of the reason that they is because it takes them too long to go, because those replay viewing areas are at the 20-yard line. You have to go get there first. You have to have some of the NFL. You know, the original NFL plan was actually they were upstairs. They didn't have the hood.
And I liked that idea.
And I did, too. That's the way they should have kept it. I think they need to go back to it. All right? College football doesn't take that long to do. And guess what? On a television point of view, fans love it because you're sitting at home looking at look, because it's intriguing. Right? I also think they should show it in the stadium. I'm against that rule. Show it in the stadium. But baseball needs to change.
Wait, you're against the rule to show it in the – hang on. You're against –
No, they should show it in the stadium. The fans in the stadium should have the same view the people at home have. They should have the same view. I've always felt that way. But close play at first, close play at third, whatever – look, it doesn't take long, and I think you need to have somebody upstairs to do it, but they need to start making some changes in this game. They need to. And I love baseball. You listen to me do the spikes. I've had people say to me, boy, you know, I listen to you do the spikes. You have a great time. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I grew up on baseball. The first major league anything I went to in my lifetime was Major League Baseball at Fenway Park. First game I went to, Mantle and Maris both homered. So I have a deep love for the game. At the same time, you know, you can't do it on balls and strikes. You can't. Okay, it's fun having K-zone and so forth, but you can't do it on balls and strikes. But I think a manager should have the ability to go out and say, I'd like to challenge that call at first base. I'd like to challenge that play at the plate. Okay? I have no issue with that. I think it makes for a better game. I think you lose the George Orta moments.
Let me share a quick thought with the K-zone thing. Here's the problem I have with K-zone on television. It's where the ball is caught, not where the ball crosses the plate. That's the one big problem with K-zone, because they're showing it where the ball ended, not where the ball crossed the plate. So that's why a lot of these ball strikes look a little questionable.
K-Zone 9 times out of 10 shows the umpire's right.
It does, but I'm saying on the ones that are questionable, it's usually on a breaking ball that may have crossed the plate in the zone, but where he caught it was out of the zone.
I think what K-Zone shows, I think if you ask them, I think it tells you that it's actually plate balanced. It's not caught balanced.
I don't know. Like I believe in watching they, TBS, that's what I had last year.
I believe that they tell you that actually what K-Zone shows is where the ball crosses the plate.
Well, that would be helpful then, because like I said, when TBS ran it, it did not look like
but
it was
you
that.
Can't do that on balls and strikes. You can't. You absolutely can't. Right? You can't, but you can do it on a close play at first base. You can do it on a tag play at home. But I think you have to give the manager 2 challenges in a game to go out and challenge. And I'm telling you, it's not going to take – most games will have no challenges. Most games will have none. The umpires do a great job. But you'll have some games where, guess what, it's not their night. And each manager should be allowed 2 challenges to go to the replay and check it. I think they should allow that to happen. I think you need to take advantage of the technology you have. Every baseball game is televised now. Every one of them. Use it. And have somebody else upstairs with the ability to review it if, instead of having the umpire stop and do it, let them review it upstairs. And allow the manager 2 challenges. You don't challenge, guess what? You accept what happened. And as far as I'm concerned, the DH should be used because I think you need to get more offense into the game. We have a lot of low ERAs and a lot of low-scoring games this year. I mean, let's face it, baseball did make the move back in the 60s, They lowered the mound. I mean, they actually have done something. They actually lowered the mound in the 60s. Too high, thought it was too great of an advantage for the pitchers. Our number 1-800-795-9565. But I think they need to get it involved. You can't do it on every play. You can't do it on balls and strikes. But I think you need to give the managers, like the NFL, the ability to not just come out. Look, what would waste more time? Okay? Charlie Manuel going nose to nose and everybody going, oh, yeah, fine, and getting tossed out of the game? Or him coming out and saying, look, that play at first, I'd like to challenge it. Guess what? It would take the exact same amount of time as him wasting time and kicking dirt on the bag.
Yeah, but that's much more entertaining.
Yeah, well, guess what? It doesn't do anything either except get him tossed out. I mean, that's the biggest waste of time is watching a guy argue something that's never going to be overturned.
Agreed.
I mean, it's never going to be overturned. Right. Give them two challenges each game. I'm telling you right now, most games, there may be a challenge or no challenges. The bottom line is to get it right. And I'm limiting to two challenges for each manager. Instead of having to come out, yell, scream, wait, you can stand out there and you can argue for about 90 seconds, or they can take the 90 seconds and review the play and get it right. And as for the DH, I'd rather see that because I need to see more offense in games. And the DH is at every other level, high school, college, even in the minors. New York Penn League is an all DH league. Pitchers are not hitting in the New York Penn League. None of them. They're right out of college, and guess what? Pitchers are pitching, hitters are hitting. It's okay to make adaptations. You don't have to play this game the same way as they did in the 20s and 30s and 40s. You don't have to. They lowered the mound because the ERAs were too low in 1968. They lowered the mound in 1969. It's okay. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And this is somebody who is a diehard baseball fan. Everything else about the game I find to be beautiful. Everything else about the game, I love the pace. Mike in Whitfield. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I've been listening to you talk the last 10 minutes or so about changes for baseball, and I agree with everything you've said. Unfortunately, in my mind, too, the baseball powers to be are using the railroad model of management back in the 1900s, and we all pretty know where that ended up.
Yep.
They don't understand, and I think in addition to what you recommended, there should be talk about a clock on the pitching so that there's a little better pace to the game.
Mike, you know what? Believe it or not, and you're right about the clock. Just like you have a shot clock in basketball, you have a play clock in football. I understand exactly what you're saying. There actually is a rule that if you're on the mound and you don't pitch in a certain time, I've only saw it called once. It was in an Indians-Red Sox game. Juan Marichal, tail end of his career pitching for the Red Sox, they called the ball because he took too long on the mound. There actually is a rule for it. They never enforce it. And, Mike, you are correct. I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you. You're spot on, Mike.
All right. Good discussion today, Steve.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's great to hear from you. You added to the discussion. We appreciate that a lot. But the same thing goes with what they do with free agency and what they do with their television money. They need to pool everybody's television money. Everybody's money should be pooled. Radio, TV, cable, the whole thing. Guess what? The Yankees can't televise a game if the Royals aren't going to show up. And they should split all the money evenly among every team in their sport. Every one of them, except for radio rights. They should allow each team to have radio rights to give them, okay, because that's okay. But when it comes to television, whether it's cable or the national, all the money should be pooled and everybody should get an even cut. That way, like the Green Bay Packers can compete with the New York Giants, and Wellington Mara was one of the great owners in the history of the NFL. He sat back when Pete Rozelle told him about this, and he said it's best for the league. He didn't say it was best for the New York Giants. He said it was best for the league. Well, guess what? All the money, whatever, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New York, Boston, Angels, Dodgers, every dime of television money should be pooled and split evenly and give everyone a competitive fighting chance. It would make for a better league. Look at the NFL. Every year there's an ebb and flow in this league where suddenly between the draft and the fact that everybody's on an even playing field financially when it comes to things like that, can make moves and have the freedom to make moves. We'll come back with more on WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month, and it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Again, I think baseball needs to take every money, every dollar from YES, every dollar from Comcast, every dollar from NESN, and I need and Fox Sports California, the whole thing, and whatever the deal is in Texas, and pool it and divide it among each team evenly. So now you have an even playing field financially to work with. But they're too archaic. They won't do it. They don't do anything that's best for the league. That's the way it's always been.
And they where's the finger of blame, though?
The finger of blame goes with the big market teams. They won't do it. There's not a Wellington Mara out there. A Wellington Mara who could have had all the money he wanted in New York. And when Pete Rozelle went to him and think this is best for the league, competitive league, he said yes. You need to have forward-thinking people and not just be so self-absorbed in what you have. 30 franchises. Because guess what? When everybody has a fighting chance, your attendance and your TV ratings are going to go up because there's an opportunity every year to change things over and be better. You see it in the NFL all the time. I know you're talking about, when it comes to the DH, you're talking about the decision has to be made. Do I leave him in? Not the whole thing. You don't have to take out the quarterback. You don't have to take out your point guard. You don't have to take out your goaltender. Fans want to see the best guys out there. Okay? If Roy Halladay is going along and he's pitching a great game, but he's down 2-1, guess what? Philly fans still want Roy Halladay out there in the eighth inning. They don't want him pinch hit for. Because they got a better chance with Roy Halladay out there in the eighth inning. Instead of, well, I had to make this decision, blah, blah, blah. The hell with your decision. Right? Guess what? I'm a fan. I want to see him out there in the eighth inning. He gives my team the best chance. I mean, look how you almost went off the deep end when Chad Qualls came in last week.
Oh.
I had to talk you off.
I know.
I had to talk you off the ledge.
Listen, the more we converse about this, the more you swing me to go into the DH. But like I said, I still miss that decision part.
I love the game. But the DH is at every level. It is at high school. It's at the New York Penn League. It's in college. It's all over the place. People are using it. The fans have accepted it. It is the way to play the game. It's 2012, not 1912. More fun and frivolity tomorrow.